So guys, I want to start by asking you guys a question. Are you forgiven? You know, that's a very honest response. I hope so. And that's a response I get all the time when I ask that question. I hope so. And my response is, it has everything to do with Jesus, right? It has everything to do with where we stand with Jesus. And, you know, it's interesting because so often as Christians, we live as though we're not forgiven. So often we live with this sense of condemnation, of shame, of guilt, of brokenness before God. And it just causes us to almost focus on ourselves rather than on God and His greatness, His glory, His grace, His power, His pleasure. So let's open up in Psalms 103, starting in verse 1, because we have a lot to be thankful to God for. There is so much to be thankful, because guess what? God is good. All the time. Do you believe that God is good? Because it's true, and if it's true, it changes everything. So let's start off. Verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So then it starts listing some of those benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Whew! That's a great start, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Guys, we are to praise God with everything we have because He's done so much for us. And this is David who's sharing, what a blessing it is to know that God... that God loves His people so much that He's offered a way for us to be in right standing with Him. And so this is another one of these psalms where we see the blessing of God coming forward. And it goes into verse 6 where it says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Guys, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? What is it? Right standing with God. That's it. We're in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. If we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are in right standing because of what He's done for us. And I think it's so important for us to remember that our blessing, how we live, doesn't come the strength that we face day-to-day challenges with. Doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from our standing in Christ. Romans 5, 18 and 19 says this, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many were made righteous. Guys, we have right standing with God because the many were made. When we come to faith in Christ, our right standing is with Him. And so we get to praise Him and thank Him with clear hearts and minds. Why? Because of what He's done. It doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want. It means that when we are truly transformed by the gospel, when we're so touched by the life that we have in Christ, now what we desired before sin, before we became righteous, it changes. Now the things that we desire are the things that honor God, and we're defined by our relationship with Jesus. So let's stop living as though the righteousness was on our own shoulders. Let's not put that weight on ourselves. Guys, I promise you one thing. You cannot handle the weight of righteousness in your flesh. You can't do it. You cannot go through life and handle the challenges of life and the discouragements that come and hold that weight on your own shoulders. We cannot lift that burden. And we were never created to lift that burden. It's Christ and being in Him and having His power and His strength that we move forward. Psalm 3 goes on to say in verse 7, He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. I love that one. Slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know what I love that it doesn't say right there? As far as the North Pole is from the South Pole. He doesn't give us two things that we can measure and say, it's really far, but there's an ending point to it. It goes so far. As far as the east is from the west means what? They never, ever, ever, ever meet. Our sins are taken away from us in Christ through a relationship with Him. If we are in Christ, we are not defined by our sin. Guys, are you living as though your sin defines you? Are you living in such a way that you're remembering, you're storing up treasures for yourself of your past sins? And you're keeping a record of your own wrongs? Because if you're living that way, it's dishonoring to what God has done for us. And we don't want to dishonor God in that way. It's also saying this, I need to pay, you know what? Christ's death on the cross, it wasn't enough. And I need to suffer for this a bit. Because there's something that is a part of the human spirit, which is this. We want to, in a sense, pay the penalty ourselves. We've had, throughout history, throughout all different times, we've found new ways to cause ourselves pain for the sins that we've committed. In some cultures, they have these things where they take it's like a whip, and they whip their back. And it's done to remind themselves of all their sin and their junk and how they're not worthy. There's culture after culture that has their own version of that. And we in the West here in the United States, we have our way of doing it mentally, don't we? We don't hit our backs, but we beat ourselves up. We're really, really good at, I mean, why do you think right now medication for all different kinds of emotional baggage is being prescribed at numbers never seen before? I mean, we've got, and that's just those that are done legally. We've got drugs coming that are illegal that are, man, and it's caused to what? To hide the pain that we put on ourselves because of both the sins done to us and the guilt of our own sins. Instead of living in condemnation of sin, the believer can stand before Christ holy because of what He has done. Christ takes the place of the sinner, the place of the curse, being made sin, and He was judged. The believer now stands in Christ's righteousness. And guys, that is good news. Because the reality is sin is truly evil and it cannot be with God. And God had to judge sin. And that's why Christ had to die on the cross. Because God never winks at sin. Ever. And God is holy. And a holy God will not allow himself to be in the presence, to be have sin in him, on him. And so it needed to be dealt with, and we couldn't deal with it. And so Christ died and took our place. And sin and death stayed in the grave. Christ arose, and we arose with him. Our sin is forgiven. If we are buried with him, we are raised with him. And that's good news. Romans 6, 6 through 8 says this, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him." Guys, we are not defined by our sin, but in Christ, we are defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I love this, that we are no longer slaves to sin. Anybody here feel like a slave to sin? Is there a sin that has your number? Right? We've been there, haven't we? Many of us are there right now. Well, let's talk about this sin or this sin, Pastor, but don't talk about this one. Let's not go there. What is the area that you're struggling with? Because all of us have areas that we're struggling with. And one of the things that we do in the church is we hide the struggle. We try and put it away and act like everything's fine on the outside when we're dying inside, because we know that that sin is eating us alive. We know that that sin keeps rearing its head and keeps having victory over us. But here it says, anyone who has died in Christ and been risen has been set free from sin. So if we've been set free from sin, why does sin have our number? I think it's often because, at least I know for me, often I try and deal with things in the flesh. I come at the challenges in my strength, in my flesh, and try and overcome it. I just need to try harder. Remember what you're told growing up? Rub some dirt on it, right? Be tougher. Figure out a way. Push through. Come on. All right? Where there's a will, there's a way, right? We've got lots of those things, right? Mind over matter, exactly. We've got all those things of just push through it. Just do it. Nike, just do it. Right? It can't be done. Because there's an ugly truth, which is the enemy, God's enemy, is greater than me in my flesh. But there's another truth, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So the enemy, the demonic world, may be greater than me in the flesh, but not even close, not even on the same plane as Christ in me. We're not defined by our junk, by our sin. We're defined by our relationship in Christ Jesus. What you've done, your sin, that thing that you don't want anyone to know about, that doesn't define you. It doesn't define who you are if you are in Christ Jesus. And guys, that is truly good news, and we need that desperately. Verse 13. I love where it goes here. I love the direction it goes. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who kept his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. I love that. His kingdom rules over all. Guys, one of the things we see here is we're going from justification of the law, that our right standing, our righteousness comes from what Christ did. We have justification through faith. But something is happening here. He's going into new language. As a father has compassion on his children. As there is salvation justification, which we covered in the last segment. But there's also salvation sanctification, growing in our walk and having more and more areas of our lives come under the leadership and headship of Christ. And I love that in this understanding of where we stand with Christ, are we righteous? Are we saved? That's in the line of justification, that I'm saved once. I don't have to keep getting saved over and over. Oh, I had a really big sin. I need to get saved again. No, eternal life is what? You're going to hear me say it over and over. Eternal life is? Eternal. So with my sin that I'm struggling with, it doesn't take me out of relationship with God. Remember, as far as the east is from the west, our right standing is because of what he's done. And now it goes into the language of the Father with his children. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Guys, in sanctification, we're not talking in relationship to the law. We're not talking about, I'm okay just because the law, God's law says I'm forgiven. Yes, that's true. But now I get to grow in my walk with him because I'm sanctified. I'm growing in my relationship with him. I've got more areas of my life being handed over to Christ. So what area needs to be handed over to you, to him right now in your life? I know what it is for mine. I share some of it I don't share. I don't share with a bigger group. I have a few individuals that I share that I just, man, that I can be fully honest with. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you don't have a trusted friend that you can share the good, the bad, and the ugly with, you need to find that belief in Christ. Guys, find another guy that you can be real with, that you can share it all. Ladies, find another woman who's serious about her walk, who's growing, that you can be real with, that you can share what's happening. And where you know, number one, you won't be judged, but you'll have somebody walk with you in the battle. Guys, the church should be the last place where we feel like we can't share what's really happening in our lives. This should be where we are the most real. That's what the church is. It's where we come to get help. It's where we come to be real and be whole again in Christ and with each other. And so we need to have the kind of relationships that's not this fake vibrato that everything's fine. And we need to, when we're broken, say we're broken. We need to have those people in our lives that we can share with. And my prayer is that you find people in this church family, or if you're visiting in your home church family, where you can just be who you are. Because if we're living in darkness, if we're hiding our sin, guess what happens with that sin? Nothing changes. What's that? Thank you. Actually, I think that's correct. I think that's better than what I stated. It does change, but it goes in the wrong direction. It gets worse. Because when we don't deal with it, we put another bolt on the door. And we have to work harder to cover up our sin. And then the guilt gets more, and pretty soon, when that guilt keeps pressing and pressing against the door, pretty soon it starts busting through. And we are in such a place that we're trying to hide who we are that pretty soon you don't even know who we are. We lose sight of who we are. And we start believing the lies of the enemy. See, we're called to be free in Christ. But if sin has just got us, and it's not just a foothold, but it's a stronghold. Man. Some people will say to me, can a Christian be addicted? Yes. Have you ever known a Christian who's addicted to something, fill in the blank? There's a thousand, not just drugs and alcohol, there's a thousand things you can fill that blank with. It's a stronghold in the life. It's an area of that believer's life where they're living as though the lie from the enemy is true and they're locking the sin behind the door. But guys, if we bring into the light what we are trying to hide, if because when we're in darkness, we're where? We're on the enemy's home turf. It's, man, when you've got the home court advantage. But when we bring it out into the light, it's our Father's home turf. We're bringing it out into the light. And now, the fear of what if somebody finds out doesn't rule us. And we don't deal with all those other lies to protecting that sin and keeping it hidden. Now it's all out. Now it gets dealt with. Years and years ago, I had somebody very close to me, a dear friend. He struggled greatly with pornography. He hadn't had it be a problem for years in his life, and then he struggled with it. And it came on so quick, it happened at work, something flashed on his computer, and from that moment, he said it just like that. The addiction was there. And his desire to see more, and it just, it overtook him. And he was going through that while he had his wife who was going through other personal things, and it kind of all hit at once. And the brokenness that they felt was overwhelming. But he brought it out into the open, and he asked everyone that was close to him to be praying about it. He just brought it out. And he asked for help and forgiveness. And his wife saw this man who was willing to deal with this thing, and she felt loved, and she felt encouraged, and she felt blessed. Because he wasn't willing to put it behind to save how people looked at him. He was willing to deal with it before God so that he could be free from the sin. And I don't know about women, but I know men. And men struggle with pride, anger, and lust. Those are the big three for men. I don't know what the big three are for women. Is it right there? Same thing? Okay, well, good. Well, good. But man, so if the enemy has those things to go for, if he can get in our lives in those ways, we need to be real, and we need to be, because the reality is this, we've got the truth of the Word of God, right? And the truth of the Word of God is what knocks down the walls of the lies of the enemy. You see, the gates of hell will not stand against the truth of the gospel. What do the gates of hell imply? That the enemy is playing defense. And we are to be not just on defense. So often we play like we're a defeated individual who's just trying to get through another day. If I can just knock off the hits and I just want to last today. That's not how we're called to live. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Let's be in step with the Spirit. So now, rather than just trying to get through the day, Now the gates of hell will not stand against us because Christ is in us. And as Christ knocks down those walls, he's already defeated the enemy. We serve a risen Savior. Guys, I got to be honest with you. It's really easy to say this on Sunday morning. It's really hard to live it during the week. And if we're not honest about that, we're going to get even more frustrated. Because why is it so easy to be good on Sunday morning? And so hard to be good on Friday, Saturday night? Well, what if the things that happened have changed us on the inside to where now I take one thing and I bring it into the light before the Lord? I want to encourage you, don't try and do everything at once. But what's that one area that God is speaking to you right now? His Holy Spirit is saying, you know that one thing? You know what that is, right? And your response is, yeah, I know. Bring that one thing before the Lord. Be honest. Have a friend or two that you can share, that you trust. To not take it everywhere, but truly trust. And share with them and pray. And get to a place where you're bringing it out into the open. And when we bring it out into the open and we ask God to be our strength in this area, we experience freedom and deliverance. Freedom in Christ. And we get to experience God, not the law God, as we did in justification of the Mingus, right? But Dad. Dad. Romans 5, 9 through 11. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I love that, guys. While we were enemies to God, he reached out and gave us justification. He brought us into relationship with him. Do you think he's going to drop us now that we're struggling in our walk? That he's going to turn his back and say, I'm no longer your, you're no longer my son. You're no longer my daughter. That's not the heart of God. See, God is a perfect, loving, heavenly Father who is long-suffering. He loves his children so much that he will die for them. Parents, you'd give up your life for your children, wouldn't you? Without a hesitation. It's how much more a perfect heavenly Father will give up, who gave up his life for us, will that cover into the sins that we experience and that we commit and are done to us and that we do while we're saved. John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You are a child of God if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are a child of God, and nothing can take you out of his family. He will not disown you for anything. He loves you. You're his beloved. And we can have great peace in that. The last three verses. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all the heavenly hosts, you who servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Guys, praise the Lord. Sense a theme here at the end? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What's the response when you look at who God is? This psalm is all about praising him for who he is and what he's done. And it's this overwhelming understanding of he's forgiven us, he's given us life, he's given us love, he's given us purpose. And it's just the sense of, I got to praise God in response. It flows naturally. And he rules all. His dominion is over everything. He's the ruler of everything. And so what does that make us want to do? It's appropriate for us to have the response to a God who is over all to say, you know what? I'm yours. And the way I live needs to change. And I can't change it in myself. And so God, I don't know how this works fully, but I want you to change me from the inside out. My life continues to be yours in sanctification, in growing, in my walk with Christ. And so I give you this area of my life. I'm going to trust you're going to deal with it better than I do. I'm going to trust you with this area because I've tried and it doesn't work. The appropriate response for the believer is obedience when we see a God who is all-powerful and loving. The appropriate response is, I get to love him back. And that looks like obedience. Because think about it. I think of my mom and all those years that I had before she passed of man, I get to bring her joy by doing things which bring her blessing. There was something great. There's something, even with the brokenness of the relationship I had with my father, the reason I played basketball all those years growing up was because it was the first thing I did that my dad smiled at, and he was looking in my direction. I didn't like basketball when I first started. I had a natural ability that God had given me, and I looked up, and Dad was, he was doing that. There's something inside a child that wants to please the parent. And guys, how do we please our parent? How do we please our Heavenly Father? By obedience. By taking pleasure in loving him back and doing what's right. And when we do that, the blessing comes back to us. And we experience the joy. If we can put the first of the last three slides on. And that is the freedom in Christ. And guys, you've seen this before. It's a little small. I had to put it to get it all in. But can you guys read it? Someone? Okay, good. We won't read the verse of where it comes from, but let's read through this together. This is from Neil Anderson, and this is just freedom in Christ. It's just biblical truth about who we are. It's three areas. Freedom in Christ is I'm accepted, I'm secure, and I'm significant. The truth of what God's word says about us. And let's stay seated so everybody can know, so you're not looking behind a taller person. But let's take this together and let's read through this, starting with I am accepted, okay? So let's read together. I am accepted. I am God's child. As a disciple, I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, and I am one with him in spirit. I have been bought with a price, and I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted as his child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Next slide. I am secure. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that God will complete the good work he started in me. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. the last area, I am significant. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine and channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I am good all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, mine went to the back page. Amen. I love that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Guys, what incredible truth this is about what God's word says who we are. When you are feeling guilt and shame, when you are feeling discouraged, I want to encourage you, go back to God's word. Go back to what God's word says about you, the truth of what God's word says about you. Because it's a beautiful thing. When we hold on to those truths, something happens. The enemy doesn't have that way to just take our joy and shake it from us. It's beautiful when we get to experience peace and joy in the midst of the trial. Because we don't have to do that hindsight 2020 every time. Oh man, if I knew back then what I know now looking back. In the midst of the challenge, we can experience the pleasure of God, the peace of God, the joy in him. So I want to encourage you, what's happening in your life right now? What are you going through? What is it a time of joy? Is it this kind of time of a psalm like this where you get, or is it where the psalm like this brings you back to the truth of who you are in him? What are you experiencing right now? No matter where you're at, whether it's a joyful heart in the midst of blessing, or whether it's you're at the bottom of the pit and you're looking for some clear sky. No matter where you're at, Christ is with you and he's ministering to you. I also want to encourage you with this. If you're here and you know about Jesus, but you don't know him intimately and personally, my hope and prayer is that you would come to myself, to one of the elders, to a friend, that you would seek, how do I know him? And it's simple. It's asking him to forgive you of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior, and giving him your life and saying, I believe. It's not a hard thing, but it changes everything from the inside out. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you so desperately. Lord, there's sometimes in our lives where we are struggling and we don't know which way's up. And Lord, we can turn to you at those times and you bring your peace and your joy. Lord, there's other times where we're just in awe of your goodness. Lord, I thank you that this series that we've had in the Psalms has expressed so many different emotions that we have. Father, I pray that the truth of your word would get into every little nook and cranny of our lives, Lord. That we would be filled with your spirit and all the junk would be just wiped out and replaced with the truth of who you are. Lord, I pray for everyone here who's struggling with a particular sin. Lord, you know what it is. You know what's in our heart. You know the battle that we've had with this. Lord, we ask for forgiveness. We thank you that you do forgive. But Lord, we ask for victory. We ask for your Holy Spirit to bring transformation, that you would give us an understanding of the truth in the area that we're trying to fill a part of our life with this other thing to make us whole, Lord, and that we would realize nothing makes us whole except you. And then we would repent of our sin and share with a trusted friend and bring out into the open, Lord, the the pain of the sin that we're a part of. Lord, we pray for healing and truth in our lives. Lord, we pray that that door that's locked would be unlocked and opened, and that you'd be allowed into all areas of our lives. Father, that we wouldn't try and shut you out anymore. Father, thank you for each one here. Thank you for every person, no matter where they're at on the journey of faith, Lord. I just pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you yet, Lord, that they would see you today through your word and respond to your love and respond to your Holy Spirit and receive you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, for all of us who know you, Lord, we pray for holy lives. We pray for these areas of our lives to be handed over. We want to experience that more joy and more peace and more pleasure in you, Lord. Show us how to do that in your strength, in your spirit. May our identity be in you. We pray this in Jesus' name.